Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and encouraged to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. So today I have with me Monica Swanson from Hawaii, which is wonderful. So, hi, Monica.
Aloha.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Introduce yourself, Monica.
You bet. Well, it's great to be here. Hi, everyone. Just such an honor to talk to Christy always and to encourage all of you. So I'm here on the North Shore of Oahu. Got two college boys home right now. Well, they're kind of in and out. Lots to do around here on a sunny summer morning. So then I have a 17-year-old son who is currently in Mexico on a surf trip. I'll be meeting him in Southern California in a couple of days for his U.S. champs. So he's my little pro surfer, which is really exciting and scary and you know, all the feels. And then I have a just turned 11-year-old named Levi, who I am trying still to wrap up the homeschool year with, but there's way too many distractions. So four boys. I'm the author of the book, Boy Mom, What Your Son Needs Most From You. I am the host of the Boy Mom podcast, and I just love to encourage families online through social media, all the different places. I have a great husband named Dave, who's a doctor by trade, but kind of a tropical farmer by passion. So we have a couple acres here where we're raising all kinds of yummy tropical fruit and just juggling all the things like so many of you, trying to stay sane and you know, walk by some piles of things that I should tend to, but there's so much more exciting things to do like this. So I love being here. This is my heart and can't wait to just share some of the things I've learned through study, through research, and through trial and error. So here we are.
I'm so excited to talk to you, Monica. So ladies, just for some context here, Monica and I talked like a couple months ago. She interviewed me on her podcast and she asked me what I was doing to help my older kids, you know, develop their own faith habits. And I was like, anyway, so since then I've been inspired by what she told me to help my oldest sort of move into that. So I wanted her to share some of her wisdom with you about, so when your kids are kind of preteen, I don't know, I think every kid's probably maybe a little bit different age at that, where they are ready for that. But we're going to talk about bigger kids today and how you help your kids move from just being completely dependent on you to, you know, engaging in their own relationship and their own, you know, own Bible reading. How do you encourage them to talk to God? You know, don't just ask mom right away. Talk to God about your problems. Yep. So it's a big question, I know. But tell us, maybe start by what has worked for your family for helping your kids develop those habits.
Sure. I love this. And I know that some of the moms watching, listening, might have younger kids, but I'm so glad to have you here too, because I do believe it all starts with kind of that mindset. So much of what I talk about in parenting is really always keeping that vision for the young adults that we are raising. So really parenting even the little ones with a vision for who they will grow up to become. So even if they are completely dependent on you and you're just reading the, you know, Jesus storybook or reading to them, doing devotions together, all of that, praying together, still doing it in a way that you know that you're teaching them right now what it's going to look like to one day be on their own, spending time with God. So I think that kind of fostering that is a process that starts when they're young. But yeah, I think when you and I talked, I was kind of laughing because I thought, here I am with my fourth son who's just 11. And I'm probably a little too eager to be like, okay, you can do this alone now. Whereas with my first son, the truth is I probably held on to that time longer because I, you know, was really spending the daily time reading the Bible and praying together. But I'm just on that other side of things now where I'm like, okay, everybody be independent, grow up already. So by all means, if your children love to sit with mom and read the Bible and pray, enjoy that because you will miss it one day and it's special. But by all means, as soon as they have made a personal choice, as soon as they have said, you know, they have asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, they want to follow him, that they have a personal relationship with Jesus, then you begin to just encourage them throughout the day. You know, you can pray about that. Maybe they're struggling, having a rough moment, fighting with a sibling or upset with something mom and dad said no to. And you say, you know, go, I want you to go to your room and I want you to take at least a minute to talk to God about what you're feeling. You and I both love of journaling. So I love to give my boys a journal and say, this is your safe place. This is where you can write down, you know, all your honest feelings to God or ask him a question. So boys don't always love to write, like, you know, sometimes they might want to draw a picture or they just let that journal sit. But I'll encourage my little Levi to, you know, try to as often as possible. And this isn't a daily habit, but when you read the Bible and pray, write something down, whether it's a question for God, one verse that stood out to you. You can draw a picture, but start to develop that habit, because I do believe that those journals can really become a big part of our boys' devotional life. I know my college boys are big journalers now. Mm-hmm. And that started off in those years of me just saying, do it even though you don't want to. I'm encouraging you to just write something down. And then as they get more comfortable writing and it's a more of a natural process, they're probably going to add more and more to it. So yeah, I think just kind of slowly starting to bring it up, like, God is there for you anytime, all the time. Talk to him, bring the burdens. If something good happens, hey, did you stop and thank God for that? So it's not just us saying, here, let me pray, but you take a minute to pray, and not always being the one to step in and do it for them, but encourage them to take that time to do it just between them and God.
Yeah, that's really good. I like the idea of the journal too. I found that for my son, I really had to help him like figure out when is a good time to do this, because it just didn't kind of come naturally for it. He's always got things that he wants to do and books to read. And, you know, he goes to his room and he's like, oh, I'm just reading this book now. So for us, what's been working for us in the last couple months since the last time we talked is that I said, you know what, how about after you brush your teeth, you go to your room, and the first thing I want you to pick up is your Bible, and you're going to read through, you know, a section of that. So, and then when I come into my room, if you've read something, we can talk about it. So it gives him a little bit of like incentive.
Yes.
Because if he doesn't, I'm like, okay, good night.
Right.
Nothing to talk about. But if he does, then we get to have a conversation about it. So
I love that.
Recently, I read something in one of Wendy Speaks' books. I think it was her Social Media Fast one. About what a teacher had told her son. She had given her son like a golden highlighter, I assume a yellow highlighter, and just said, like, look for the golden nuggets, like something that, you know, where God is speaking to you, highlight those things. So
I
did that with him the other day, and I was like, you can, you know, look for those golden nuggets. So he's actually read through Matthew and Luke, and he's reading John now. So I don't think he's ever read John before. So, yeah, so he's read through two books of the Bible, and I said, you get to decide what you want to read, but I think I'm going to add the journal idea now. I really like that. I think that helps with the processing and the prayer, because he's into the habit of the reading now, but he's not so much into the habit of the thinking about how it matters, right?
Totally. No, I love that, and I love the highlighter, too. And you know, one thing I always recommend is there's so many options nowadays, because we have apps and we have devotional apps and Bible apps, and it's so much easier for my son to just say, oh, let me use your phone, I'm going to read the Bible. But we all know what happens when you put an 11-year-old on a phone, right? I mean, when you put any of us, there's just so many distractions. And so I really encourage parents to start off with that paper Bible, and you know, just at least to help kids learn to navigate, like, where's the Old Testament, where's the New Testament, just be able to find things. And then I love the highlighter, because if they have their own Bible, then you can say, you know, you have freedom to choose whatever you want. You get to highlight anything you want. And sometimes you find things, you're like, what did you highlight? Like, what was that? But it's their own, right? And so I think at least teaching them, and then as they get older, if they have the iPad and they want to do their devotions on it, okay, but at least start off with a paper Bible. That's my 10 cents on that one.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because then you can even just say, you can write in it, you can highlight it, you can circle stuff. That's totally fine. You can even write your prayers right in it if you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know my college boys have circled back after some years of being on their phone for a Bible. They each actually spent like a good amount of maybe birthday or graduation or something money on a really nice quality Bible. And they just like treasure their Bible. It's like their favorite thing, and they keep it in a box. Like, they just love their Bible. So I think that's really sweet that they care that much about being able to write in it and highlight and flip through pages.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. I mean, I hope that for my kids. That was me. Like, when I got some money when I was 18 or 19, I bought myself a study Bible. My parents were like, what? Oh, and I also bought myself a concordance. And my friend who was with me was like, what are you doing?
I love it.
I just want to have a concordance.
Yes, good.
Probably most people don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I think I still have it somewhere. But now all that stuff is online.
Yes, it is.
So if your kids are doing most of that kind of, you know, prayer and reading the Bible on their own now, how does this look in your family now? Like, does faith just kind of come up naturally because it's all just a part of your lives? Do you make room for like, let's talk about the sermon together? Or like, what does that look like in your family?
Yeah, such a good question. Well, I'm super grateful that my husband just, you know, loves to talk about the word of God. And so I think from the time the kids were little, it's just been part of our family culture, you might say, where it just comes up a lot. Like, so, you know, for those moms who maybe don't have a husband who does that as naturally, I would still say you can bring things up throughout the day. And often, you know, I always refer to Deuteronomy because it talks about God commanding the Israelites, you know, talk to your kids as you walk along the street, when you get up, when you lie down. So I think that lifestyle of just bringing God's word into everything. So I think one way to do that is in the mornings to be able to say, oh my goodness, this morning in my devotions, you know, maybe they didn't see you doing devotions, but to let them know, when I was doing devotions, this one verse really stood out to me. And it reminded me of this area of my life that I want to apply it. And so then you'd be like, did anything stand out to you in your devotions today? And, you know, no shame. It's not like a legalistic thing. Like, did you do your devotions? But it's a way to bring it up naturally. Yeah. And then for us as a family, we have tried over time to do maybe a weekly, like, especially when the boys are home from college, we'll go through a study throughout the summer, like once a week, let's gather. And at least, you know, one of my boys will play guitar and we'll sing maybe one worship song and go through either a study or read through Proverbs together, you know, just something that kind of forces us to gather and discuss it. And what I find that, first of all, my boys love that time. They love it so much. They really look forward to it. And if we miss it, they will notice. I think there's just something about bringing the family together in that way that's super special, but it also gets that conversation going. So the next day we're more likely to say, oh, this reminds me of that, or this is what God showed me. So I do think that when you have some intentionality about gathering as a family, maybe around the dinner table, even saying, oh, what, you know, today it's the 14th of June. Let's all open to Proverbs 14 and find one verse that stands out to us. And so I think that little initiation, the kids will jump in and grab hold because there's something they can do, whether they're, you know, 10 years old or 20 years old, they can read one verse of Proverbs that stands out to them and share it with the family. So I think a little bit of initiation by mom and dad, and kids oftentimes will jump into it and want to be a part of the conversation.
That's really good. I like how you were saying, like, when you're reading in the morning, you can share what you're doing with your kids. Of course, can't do that if we're not actually reading the Bible. Right. So that's incentive, right? If we want our kids to grab hold of this, then we also have to grab a hold of it. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect and, you know, have an hour long devotion every morning or something.
Right.
But what we're learning, even when it's this podcast I was listening to, and it was about, I'm listening to a podcast about Acts right now. Right. And so just bringing up those things during the day. I also, what you said there about like your kids looking forward to this time and liking it. I think a lot of parents are probably afraid of doing something like this because they're worried about pushing their faith on their kids. Or like, I did a bunch of interviews recently with some moms, and every one of them said one of the things they were afraid of was forcing their kids to be like, their kids not wanting to do it because they felt like they were forced. Right. So we don't want that, but it's so cool to hear that your boys enjoy this. They're adults and they're enjoying this, right? They don't feel like you forced it on them.
Definitely. I'm going to just say, I think that a lot of this is, well, first of all, I think the enemy wants us to fear doing it. Mm. I think that if he can make us worried that we're going to push our kids away so that we avoid doing it, he wins, right? So I'm going to say, I really, really encourage people to not believe that lie and to not have fear of that, but also to realize we have a responsibility as parents to show that our faith brings us joy. And, you know, I don't mean to be phony. If you're going through a hard season, you know, be honest with your family, but also show that God's word is your source of encouragement and inspiration. And so I think that when they see us associating our faith with good things, with hope and joy and peace and comfort, that they're going to have the same association. And so then when we say, by all means, try to make devotional time as a family fun, like end it with ice cream, end it with something fun. Make sure it's not like, okay, now we're going to get out the King James version of the Bible and go around, and we're going to read six chapters tonight. You know, don't make it
six chapters.
So just keep it quick, keep it light, keep it, you know, positive, and end it on a happy note. Then kids are going to think of that. They're going to think of it actually as just really solid family time. And I think kids crave family time more than parents think. So just really encourage you to go into it with a good attitude, expect good things, and let God show up.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw one more question at you that we didn't prepare for.
Oh, good.
But when, so you briefly mentioned summer, like you would do something weekly in the summer. Mm-hmm. What do you do when like your schedule is just off? So that's what I often find is that in summer, you know, all bets are off. All our routines are not there anymore. Yeah. I'm sleeping in, the boys are getting up early, and you know, we don't have breakfast together anymore. So how do you deal with those transition times?
Right. No, we've had, we're so real, just like you. In fact, this summer, we have yet to have an official gathering. One son is gone. So I think mentally I'm thinking, oh, when he's back, we'll do it. But it's a challenge. Even I know for Advent, when we've done studies, when we've done Lent studies, same thing. It's always like, oh, but every night of the week, somebody's somewhere. Typically, we just try to shoot for a consistent night of the week. And then if kids have, you know, a birthday thing coming up, I'll be like, okay, well, we're trying to do Sundays, but you have this birthday thing you're going to. So let's all try to be home Monday night. Now, if one of them's gone, we'll say, well, let's just do it anyway. And he's missing out. But I think they start to then carve it into their schedule. And I think it's possible to make it a priority, just like you would if you signed up for a Bible study. Last summer, I love to tell people, because this is such a kickback and some of you will know it. But the study from like the late 90s, I think it is, Experiencing God. And who is that? It's by the authors in Canada. I'm certain. Oh. It's a workbook style study that back 100 years ago when I was first married, all the churches were doing it. It was like the thing, Experiencing God. And you would go to a group, you would watch a video, and then it's kind of like a Beth Moore study, you know, where you do the workbook. But last summer, my friend Gwen Smith, who has Graceology podcast, Gwen is great. She's an author as well. She told me that her college age kids were home and they were all doing Experiencing God. And I was like, oh my goodness, I did that like 20 some years ago. So we ordered the Experiencing God workbooks for our whole family. They do have a kids edition, which isn't, I don't think it wasn't quite the same, but the student edition would be good for like an early teenager, maybe a tween, and then the Experiencing God workbook. But my family went through it last summer and it was almost like we all went through a little revival. Like we were so excited. We were looking for God in our days. We were talking about it. It was so good. So I love Experiencing God. Otherwise, oftentimes what we do is just more like go through a book of the Bible. We don't always go through an official study together unless it's Lent or Advent, which I think is a great time to go through something together as a family. But yeah, just try to gather and find, sometimes finding a little study, even a app you can go through together. If you've all got devices, do it and gather and discuss it and talk about what you learned that week.
That's true. This is great. You are, every time I talk to you, I'm like, I'm so encouraged.
Oh, yay.
This is still so possible, right? Like you don't just have to have little kids where you can force them to do it with you. It still works when they're teens. And I love that. It seems more seamless, not just like, well, this is the end. Also, I looked up the Experiencing God is Henry Blackaby. And
Blackaby,
I'm pretty
that's
sure
right.
This is the second or third time that I've heard about that in the last.
Could have been from me because I bring it up a lot.
I have heard a lot about good things about Blackaby.
Yes, it's so good. Yeah, I recommend.
Okay, well, good to know. We did, there was one from Priscilla Shirer. There was a Armor of God.
Yes.
And the workbooks were kind of cool for kids. We never finished it because we're not really good at workbook style things. Yeah. So we've been using the ones that I've been creating for Hope Grown Faith, which is, I always have like a little play thing to do. So last week we were talking about the great banquet, that the parable of the great banquet. So I said, like, go get your stuffed animals, go get a few stuffed animals and bring them to the table. Okay, well, we need more people at our banquet, so go get some more. And then they I have a picture of all three of them. They have like all their stuffed animals at the table.
Oh my goodness, I love it. So those are memories they will hold on to forever too. They will remember.
Exactly. And even the 12-year-old loves it. Like, I mean, maybe it was different if the 12-year-old had like an 18-year-old brother.
Uh-huh.
But he's he does the play things because his good mothers still do the play things.
I love that. The other thing we've been doing is The Chosen. Are you watching
The Chosen? Yeah, that's so okay. My kids are like, I tried to get them to watch it and they're like kind of bored. I think it's maybe too like emotional for them. They're still into like Captain Underpants and
Well, if for anyone with a little bit older kids, then I'm going to say just watching it. And then we watch the roundtables where the director's like discussing why he chose to do this. And it's really interesting. I mean, we're just like totally geeking out on The Chosen and talking about it as a family. And so that's been really good. But again, a little older kids.
Or maybe kids that don't mind emotions in their movies. Yeah. My kids, as soon as there's kissing, they're like, ah! Even the oldest one, I'm like,
That's our keep that. Hold on to that as long as you can. But I was just going to say my 11-year-old loves listening to Adventures in Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not necessarily Bible, but that opens up conversations. Yeah. And then we can, you know, find verses and discuss how it applies to his life. So that's any tools you can find. Just, I think the key is to look for those opportunities. Pray that God will show you once something comes up. Now where can we take this? How can we get the most out of this and learn together? And it doesn't have to be an official, you know, set aside devotional time. It might be a conversation that happens while you're driving to the grocery store, but those things stick.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here with us. Is there anything else that you wanted to say before we wrap up with like your website and stuff like that?
No, I think I would just love to meet anyone. So if anyone's listening and didn't know me already, just track me down and say hello. I'm on Instagram at @MonicaSwanson_. And yeah, I do have a fun summer kind of freebie on my website, which is just MonicaSwanson.com. And if you scroll down, there's a fun thing you can print out that gives character-inspiring list of movies, books, and what else is on there, quotes and verses. So it's just kind of fun for summer. If you want to watch a movie as a family, you might as well watch something that has some character themes and then talk about it. So that's on my website.
Awesome.
And yeah, I'd love to meet everybody.
So I'm going to put the link to that under the video here.
Terrific.
So that'll be great. Thank you so much. That sounds like a really awesome freebie.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful summer. And thanks for having me. Always love talking to you, Christy.